Welcome to Hot Off the Mess, a podcast from The Dip. I am your host, Samantha Bush. You can call me Sam. You may know me as Bravo Historian on Instagram. As usual, I'm breaking down this week's Bravo headlines and talking pop culture, anything really that comes to my mind, but not limited to Olivia Rodrigo, our little pop princess, very, very invested in that little Disney star. I'm obsessed, and I'm also obsessed with Jennifer Aiden owning the Jersey reunion. It is now the Jennifer Aiden show, and the Caroline and Dina saga continues. It's been going on for like 14 years, and it just kind of just keeps getting worse. So let's get started. Before we get into anything Bravo related, there are just a couple like little quick things I want to discuss that are happening within like the pop culture world. And let me first start by saying that if you're not streaming Sour by Olivia Rodrigo, what the fuck are you guys actually doing? Like, May 21st should be declared a national holiday in honor of this pop princess and her album release. Because so she first came out with Driver's License a few months ago, and honestly, like, it was life-changing, and I've just been waiting for this album ever since. And then she came out with Deja Vu, and then she came out with Good For You, which is kind of like, it kind of gave me like Paramore vibes, which I wasn't expecting at all. But then she came out with this album, and like, I can't stop playing it. Like, there's this one song, it's called One Step Forward, Three Steps Back. And you guys, okay, let's get personal really quickly. I was in like this really weird, like on again, off again relationship with this guy for like 3 or 4 years. It was like so stupid. And we had this like anxious, avoidant attachment style relationship. And that is literally what this song is about. Because so what it, if you don't know what that is, let me just like quickly explain it now. I'm not a psychologist. Like, I'm not a therapist. I'm nothing like that. I've just been to a lot of therapy. So I'm going to try to explain this as best as I can. So there's like a secure attachment style, an anxious attachment style, an avoidant attachment style. And I personally, I mean, I don't think this is a shock to anyone, is like, I have an anxious attachment style, which means like, I like to have reassurance. I constantly think everyone hates me. Everyone's mad at me. I read into things. Like, it's just a lot. I mean, you can imagine. And then an avoidant person is like, not, I don't want to say the opposite of that, but when someone who is anxious is like, they want more from that person who is avoidant, that person pulls back. And then it's like, then the anxious person gets more upset because now they're like begging for that reassurance and they're not getting it. And then the other person's closing up, and it's like this push and pull. It's so toxic. It's literally like, when if you Google it, it will say like, quote unquote, the most toxic relationship styles. And like, that is the number one. And so when I heard this song, I swear, I was like, this was written about me and this person's relationship. And it's crazy, honestly, because I'm almost 30 years old. This girl is 17, and she just is like an amazing songwriter. She definitely, you can tell she is a Swiftie, just because of like her songwriting style. But if you're not a Swiftie, don't let that deter you at all. It's so amazing. And so I sent the song to like one of my best friends, and I was like, oh my God, is this not me and so-and-so? And she replied back and she goes, holy shit. It's like she literally wrote about your relationship. So it's just like really crazy. And it's like, if I had this album when I was like in middle school or in early high school, I would be the most dramatic person. I'd be like crying and listening to this on the floor of my room. Like, it would just not be good. So honestly, I'm kind of happy it didn't come out then, because I don't need to be like more fucked up than I already am. So yeah, if you haven't streamed it or downloaded it, bought it, I don't know what people do these days. I just go on Spotify. Check it out. It's so, so good. And then I know you're probably tired of me talking about Ben and J-Lo, but I just have to talk about this one more time. And I will probably continue talking about it because they were like so instrumental in my childhood. Like, there are my parents, and then there's Ben and J-Lo. Like, I don't think people fully understand, but it's fine. So they're currently shacking up in Malibu, and they're literally not hiding from paparazzi. He's seen on the balcony smoking cigarettes. She's meditating. I think there's one photo out there where she's like peeking through the curtains and like looking at him. It's interesting, but that's not what I want really want to talk about. What I want to talk about is an eagle-eyed fan noticed that Ben, so there's this photo of J-Lo and Ben walking down the stairs, and first of all, Ben is looking a little thin. I think he's filming a movie. I could totally be wrong, but he is wearing the same watch that was originally gifted to him from J-Lo back when they did the Jenny from the Block music video. I mean, like, they are giving us what we want in 2021. Like, they are making being a celebrity interesting again. Because I think, personally, I've been missing that. Like, I've been missing this, like, seeing them walking and the watch. And they're just giving us everything that we need. And I am forever thankful. Now, another big piece of news is my queen, Ariana Grande, got married to Dalton Gomez, who I believe is a real estate agent to the celebrities, to the stars. I'm not really totally sure about him because personally, like, I don't care that much. I just love Ariana so much. And her wedding photos are absolutely beautiful. She's making me rethink, like, all of my wedding plans that I don't have. Meaning like I'm not engaged or like anything like that, but I do have a Pinterest. Okay. So I'm going to say something a little controversial. I just hope people allow Ariana to like move on and be happy and like stop comparing everyone and everything to Mac Miller. And I am like the biggest Mac Miller fan, like Circles, his album's constantly on repeat for me. Like I just love him so much, and it's so sad that he passed away. But I just don't really love this idea of people on TikTok or Instagram or social media basically, like, constantly basically reminding her that, like, that was the love of her life. And it's, like, it's really sad. I don't think she needs to be reminded of this. Like, she lived it. I see this tweet, I swear to God, like once a week where they'll be like, Mac Miller died thinking that she was getting married to Pete Davidson. It's like, okay, it's really, really sad, but things in life, they happen. And I think we all need to like let her move on from that. And people also love to do this with like Justin Bieber and Selena on TikTok. Like, I don't know, Gen Z is like very invested in this like whole idea that Selena and Justin are like star-crossed lovers or something. I'm like, no, guys, they dated for like many years. They had a very toxic relationship. And now he's married to Hailey. And it's like, just leave them alone. Just leave them the fuck alone. There's like all these like fan cams of them like and their romance and how they were like soulmates but at the wrong time. And it's like, or they were just people that broke up. And like, I get that I'm saying all this, who's like really obsessed with Ben and J-Lo together, but like that to me feels different because they're both out of relationships. And like when he was with Jennifer Garner, I was never like begging for him and J-Lo to be back. Or when J-Lo was with A-Rod or Mark Anthony, I was never like making fan cams of her and Ben Affleck like together. It's just bizarre. So I just think the whole thing is like too much. And I just want people to just chill the fuck out and just let Ariana just like live her fucking life, make her amazing music, wear her high ponytails, like, you know, just leave her alone. And then lastly, what I want to get into before we dive into Bravo is my Kimmy has failed the baby bar exam. She announced this and TMZ reported this story with probably the shadiest sentence of all time. It reads, Kim scored 474 on the exam. A passing grade is 560. Kim's mentor in taking the exam, Jessica Jackson, said, quote, "This is extremely close on a test that most people are not taking in the middle of a pandemic," unquote. And TMZ then ends the article saying, "It is unclear how the pandemic factors into taking the exam." Woo! Okay. So when I read this, I screamed because it's so shady and it's so intentionally shady, but also like I kind of get what they're saying. Like Kim has like immense resources that the average person who takes this exam like doesn't have. But also like I'm trying to keep in mind because I do love my Kimmy is while she's studying for this fucking exam, she's filming a show, studying for the bar. She's going through a divorce from fucking Kanye West. She's got four kids. She's also like running Skims. She's got Kim Kardashian West beauty. Like, and oh yeah, and the pandemic is going on. So it just sounds like a lot. I think we need to cut her some slack. I mean, the fact she's even doing this is like, I think amazing. You know, we wish her luck on her second exam. I hope she doesn't get discouraged and not take it. I don't think she will. I don't think Kim is like that kind of person. I mean, obviously I know her personally. Let's just send good vibes to Kimmy. She needs it this year. I feel like last year was kind of a shit show for everyone, but also her, because this high profile divorce, like I genuinely can't imagine. I went through a breakup like right before the pandemic. Okay, we don't really need to get into that. It's whatever. But so that's all I'm saying. Good for Kimmy. Okay, let's dive into the Bravo cinematic universe. This week, we got the Potomac trailer finally. And you know what? I think people, from what I'm gathering and seeing on social media, people have kind of stopped sleeping on Potomac. Like before, it was like I was convincing people to watch it. I was like, please, please, please. Like, you can start at season one if you want. I personally didn't love that season, but that's just me. So I always tell people to start at season two. I really think that's when it gets really good. And much like how I beg people to watch Married to Medicine, that's how I feel about Potomac. I just think everyone needs to be watching it before the premiere on July 11th. So we get the trailer.
One thing you learn about living in Potomac? It's a town of smoke and mirrors. You never know who you can trust.
It's very Wisteria Lane. It's giving me Desperate Housewives intro. Wendy is the Mary Alice doing the narration. And the whole thing gave me chills, to be honest. Like seeing like the wind blowing and the gates opening and the flowers and the birds like scattering. And then, you know, and then we see our girls like doing water aerobics. Like I'm like, this is why I love these women so much. Karen wants to show her pubic hair. Candace throws baby spinach on the new housewife. And I hate to even acknowledge this. Like I refuse to really even post about this on my Instagram because I just don't want to even put any energy or thought into these rumors, but the Eddie cheating on Wendy rumors. I'm not loving it. So a couple weeks ago for Mother's Day, these rumors were like coming out more and more that he has like a love child or something with a woman from his firm. So on his Mother's Day post to Wendy, he was like, thanks for being a mother to my three children. Like he made it all caps. Like, guys, I only have three. So I just don't see, I don't know. I don't see Eddie doing that. Eddie seems like a great guy, but I mean, men are trash sometimes. But also I love that Wendy is like getting her flowers. Like she is truly a fucking breath of fresh. And I am obsessed. And I think she got new titties. They looked like way more voluptuous. And also at one point in like the little promo that they did a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I like have no concept of time anymore. She's like holding this cupcake that it's a boob. And she's like, anybody want a titty? And it was so good. And then of course we have the new housewife Mia, who I have learned more about her in the trailer than I have about Erica Jane in like her five seasons. Like, I know that Mia fucked in a Waffle House bathroom. I know she has like father and mother issues and she was in the foster care system. And like, I know all of that. And so I'm just so happy they are back July 11th. And honestly, the fact that we get New York, Beverly Hills, and Potomac all at the same time, like we are truly blessed. I feel like Bravo was like 2020 was such a shit show for everyone. Like, let's give the people what they want. I cannot wait. Okay. Let me get into the Caroline and Dina of it all. And before I do that, let me start by saying that in no way am I condoning domestic violence, okay? Let me make this very clear because some people were somehow like making that assumption because of my Instagram stories. I just think like everyone is allowed to have an opinion. And while I think this event is like absolutely horrible, what happened, I'm also allowed to struggle with like this whole idea that Carolyn would write this letter. Like I was just shocked. And I think you're allowed to be shocked. I'm confused by this. Like this idea that I can't be surprised that Caroline would write this letter for her brother-in-law. I don't know. And that somehow means that I'm condoning like domestic violence. Like that's absolutely ridiculous to me. let me just start by saying, like, we also don't know these people. I know that we like to think that we do. I mean, like, I've kind of created, like, a whole entire Instagram account around this idea that, like, we are so close with them. But at the end of the day, like, we don't know these people. We don't know their relationships. They seem complicated. They seem a little confusing. I just – okay. I'm going to rant really quickly about something that's been weighing on my mind for a while now, and I've had discussions about this with other Bravo accounts. I just feel – that recently, within the last, like, maybe year, there is, like, no room for nuance, no room for discussion or anything when it comes to talking about Bravo online. Like, I truly don't understand this idea that because I like, for example, Candace, I suddenly hate Monique and want her dead and, like, hate her family. Like, that makes no sense to me. Because it's not the case at all. So I have made a vow. I vow to everyone on this podcast, on my Instagram, on Twitter, everything, that I will never refer to myself as team anyone moving forward. Because I just think it contributes more to this idea that, like, if I like someone, that means I hate the person that they're fighting with or anything like that. And honestly, I love every single housewife. I truly do. Even when I don't fully like their actions. I mean, I... 86 Kelly Dodd from this conversation. She is, like, not a part of my universe whatsoever. But so, like, for example, when I say I like Dorinda, that doesn't mean I co-sign every single thing she's ever said or done, because what she did to Tinsley last season was, like, heinous. And, like, but then again, I also know that I don't watch these shows to watch perfect people. I watch these shows to see women live their lives, make mistakes, fuck up, you know, deal with, like, business issues and tax issues, which seems to be, like, a very common theme among our girls. But yeah, I'm finding it to be frustrating, and it just makes it hard. And I mean, of course, there is a line, I think, like, when people are, like, racist, a la Kelly Dodd, Cameron, Brandy, like, those situations, like, absolutely, like, that's where I do not, like, fuck with these people. But when it comes to, like, things that these women say that are mean or hurtful or just nasty, that doesn't mean I'm gonna, like, quit watching. I'm, like, completely rambling, and that's, you know what, it is what it is. I just had to get that off my chest. I'm not about this idea of, like, it's one or the other. You know what I mean? And I think there's a lot of Bravo accounts out there that agree. You know, it's not fun to, like, tweet your thoughts and have people, like, you know, call Jennifer Aiden's big toe, like, suddenly, like, you know, wish your firstborn, like, death. Like, it's because I like Jackie. Like, again, because I like Jackie doesn't mean I hate Teresa. Do I love everything Teresa does? We'll get into that. We'll get into the reunion in a minute, but, you know, I'm just saying, I hope people start having fun with the Housewives again and have fun with Bravo again. And yeah, stop looking for every single reason to hate the women that we're watching. Like I said, I think people make mistakes, and they're allowed to make those mistakes as long as they learn from them and apologize and listen. And yeah, so anyways, let's really get into the news about Caroline and Tina after that little rant. So sorry about that. But earlier this week, the news came out that Caroline had written a letter on behalf of Tommy Manzo. Now, I want you guys to get your pen and paper out, because the family tree here, the lineage, is a little confusing. So Caroline married Al, whose brother is Tommy, and Dina then married Tommy in 2005, okay? So Tommy is not Dina's daughter's dad. That's, like, a whole other guy. And then her and Tommy ended up getting officially divorced in 2016. But I believe, after some research, that they have been separated for longer. I think they separated in, like, 2013. Okay, so in 2019, now we're fast forwarding a little bit, a man, you guys have to, this is so Jersey, a man named James, and they call him Jimmy Balls Manello, was arrested nearly 2 years after he allegedly broke into Dina and her husband Dave's house and said, this is what happens when you fuck with people from Patterson, like, hit them with a bat, I believe. Just did horrible things. Then they, like, stole Dina's engagement ring. I believe they stole some money as well. They kicked her. But as we all remember, Patterson is like the famous quote from Teresa where she's like,
I'm from Patterson. Did you forget?
And it's like so iconic. And Dolores says she's from Patterson. Like, I guess people from Patterson, like, you just don't fuck with them. That's the gist that I'm, you know, getting here. So in July of last year, Tommy was accused of hiring Jimmy Balls, the hitman. And Caroline had wrote this letter to the courts recently saying that he was a caring and kind-hearted person. And then he was released from jail and during the hearing as he awaits the trial. So I don't love it. I don't love that Caroline did this. I find it confusing. I know that her and Dina don't really have a relationship and haven't for like 10 years because I'm right now rewatching season 4 of New Jersey and that was taking place in like 2011. And they were not speaking then. So I don't think they've had a relationship for over 10 years. Not saying that that's any excuse to like write a letter on behalf of your brother-in-law who like beat up your sister and like hired a hitman. Not great at all. So yeah, I mean, people are like lighting Caroline up, rightfully so. And we'll see what happens. I do find it interesting that like he was released. The judge, I guess, said that he wasn't a threat to anyone and was like fleeing the scene. That there was also articles I read where like members of like the clergy and police and law enforcement have written like witness letters on his behalf as well. But I also think this is like, again, much more nuanced than just like Caroline's a shitty person for doing this to her sister, which I mean, I don't love it at all. But I also am aware that they might have alleged mob ties. And I'm saying alleged because like I'm really not in the mood to get like whacked by anybody part of like the mafia. Like that's just not for me. Not my journey that I really want to partake in. So I had this thought the other night. Like I was really thinking about this. And I was like, maybe Caroline feels like she's in a tough position. Like this is her husband's brother who's also his business partner at the Brownstone. There's alleged mob ties here. Like it could just be a lot more complicated than like we're led to believe or that like we maybe want. I think it's easier for us to think like, okay, Caroline's just shitty and Dina's the victim in this situation, which Dina is a victim in this situation. But I do think that it might be more complicated. That's all I'm saying about that. I don't want to get in more trouble with anybody else because people were like really coming for me the other day. So now that we're still in Jersey, let's switch gears here a little bit and go to the Jersey reunion.
Jackie, you spent a number of years working as a lawyer. Did you ever experience sexual harassment?
I did. I had bosses who would massage my shoulders while they talked to me.
You let them?
Yeah, because I didn't want to get fired.
Oh, my God.
Teresa, have you experienced sexual harassment?
No.
No?
No. Nobody would put their hands on me.
I have so many thoughts about this Jersey reunion. First, let me start by saying I feel really bad for Melissa. I know she's not everyone's favorite housewife. I know people think that she like doesn't, you know, give us anything and she's boring and she's this. Okay, I disagree. What I really hate is that the set of the reunion is split. It's Margaret, Melissa, Jackie, Andy, and then it goes Teresa, Dolores, Jennifer. So I'm looking at it this way. The right side of the stage is like the quote unquote old school people and the left side of the stage is like much more like, I don't know, they don't live in 1940 anymore. And I just hate this fucking idea that the right side of the stage is like projecting and basically telling her that Melissa can't work and that she can't take opportunities. And Joe is, you know, in his complete right to like not want his woman to work. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Because I'm pretty fucking sure that Teresa, from what I see on social media, is also a workaholic, has four, she has, well, one daughter is like, I believe, out of the house. She's at college, Gia. But there's three other daughters. And it's like, where the fuck are you? Why is no one on her about this? Like, why can't Melissa just do whatever Melissa wants to do? And Melissa has said, she's like, I was a stay-at-home mom for 11 years. She's like, I did nothing but raise my kids and take care of a husband and take care of a house. She's like, I want to do me. And Margaret even, I really love what Margaret said. She was like, when the light is shining on you, you have to take the opportunities that are given. And I 100% agree because the light is shining on Melissa right now. And we need to just like allow Melissa to be great and not this fucking archaic bullshit that the women are trying to say. And it's just because Teresa and Melissa, they do not like each other. I hate this idea that like we're led to believe that they like are friends or that they like each other. They don't. It's very obvious. And I think Melissa is like, Melissa looks done to me. She looks so fucking tired and over it. She's over Joe not standing up for her. She's over Teresa getting away with literally everything. And like I said, I do like Teresa, but it's difficult for me because, frankly, I just think Teresa's kind of dumb. And I think it's hard to watch a show be so unbalanced. Like, have Teresa basically, like, run this fucking ship. And the things that people allow Teresa getting away with saying, like, the whole comment about, like, well, Marge, your husband's just a plumber. It's like, go fuck yourself. Like, as someone whose family is, like, literally almost 80% plumbers, like, that is so fucking rude. And if anyone said anything like that to her, she would lose her fucking mind. And I don't think that that's right. And I know everyone, myself included, has really enjoyed Jennifer this reunion. And I do, because she makes for a great show. But that doesn't mean I agree with what she's saying most of the time. The slut-shaming thing, like, I'm really not about it. I'm really not into this idea that, like, Margaret was easy breezy and loose. Like, let the woman live her life. She's married now to Joe. They're in love. Like, what she did when she was in her 20s, like, she's just telling her story. And we should honestly just, like, appreciate her for doing that. I think it adds to this, like, really dangerous discourse around women's sexuality. And especially when they were talking about basically, like, sexual harassment and assault. And Jackie said, oh, yeah. Like, because Andy asked Jackie, he said, you know, you were a lawyer. Did you ever experience sexual harassment in the workplace? And she said, oh, yeah, all the time. And Teresa says, why would you let them do that? And I was absolutely disgusted by this because it's so ignorant. It's so uneducated. It's so dangerous. This idea that, like, Teresa's saying, like, well, no one's ever done that to me because I would never let them. It's like, first of all, go fuck yourself. Second of all, you probably have never really had a job. So you've never really been put in a situation like that. And Jackie was like, well, I didn't want to get fired. So I let them rub my shoulders because it was easier than confronting the situation because that's hard to fucking do, okay? Like, Dolores looked confused by this whole conversation because she's like, what is my friend saying right now? Like, Teresa, what the fuck? But Jennifer, like, completely stuck up for her. And I was like, what are we doing? Why are we having this conversation? And then, even Andy was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, this is not okay. This is not acceptable conversation. But again, Teresa gets away with murder. Like, it doesn't matter what Teresa says because we all just, you know, brush it aside and say, oh, Teresa doesn't understand. Okay, well, Teresa is a grown woman. She has to understand something. And I'm not even going to get into the whole analogy bullshit between Jackie and Evan because I feel like it has been beaten with a dead horse. Beaten with a dead horse? That's not a saying. It's beaten. We've beaten the dead horse. Okay. I don't know. It's early, you guys. Okay. I'm like having my morning coffee and doing this. I apologize for any mistakes that I have made so far. So anyways, again, this is something. So you know how when we had Southern Charm on and it was when Craig decided he wanted to sew. He wanted to sew pillows and everyone chanted, let Craig sew. And it was this big movement on social media. I want to start a movement called Leave Dolores Alone. Now, I do love Frank and Dolores together. I think Dolores loves Frank and Dolores together. But I think when it comes to David, I think we all just need to back the fuck up and let her just live her life. She's clearly fine with the arrangement that they have. They've been together for 4.5 years. Frankie lived with him, you know, helped him with the GMAT, everything like that. Like, I just think we need to just get off of her. It just felt strange to me that, like, Dolores needs to be married to be happy. But I do like how her and Frank handled the Joe Gorga situation where they're like, Joe speaks his mind. Dolores has known him since they were kids. Like, you know, I just think they have, like, that kind of relationship. And while I don't think it's right at all what he said, again, people make mistakes. They say ridiculous things. I am one of those people as well. So, again, I love the men of New Jersey. Like, I love them so much. I know we shouldn't give them their own spinoff because, truthfully, I feel like that would be, like, the kiss of death. I think we love them in the doses that we get them. That's really all I need. And that's coming from someone who, like, literally is in love with Frank and Tanya. But I also love Evan, you guys. Like, Evan is a fucking dreamboat. Like, I didn't love his spray tan. I thought it was a little aggressive, personally. But I do love him. And I love his love of Jackie. And I don't know what it is. Every time I record this podcast, people are mowing their lawns. It's like they are the co-hosts of this podcast, the people that mow the fucking lawns. And that's honestly, so I live in the city, like in a neighborhood in the city, and I honestly kind of miss living in the suburbs sometimes because people only mow their lawns on Saturdays. Like, this did not happen. People are mowing their lawns like 3 p.m., 9 a.m. It doesn't matter. People are just constantly fucking mowing their lawns. I can't take it. Okay, anyways, sorry about that. That's pretty much my thoughts on Jersey. And now I want to talk about Beverly Hills. You guys, Beverly fucking Hills is back, okay? Kathy motherfucking Hilton, I'm in love with her. Like, I am truly, truly in love with this woman. I don't know if it's because I had this like preconceived notion of like who she would be or how she would act, but she is nothing like I imagined. She is an icon. I just love her so much. Like, when she called Rinna Mrs. Hamlin, I just thought, like, you're a boss. Like, you are a fucking boss ass bitch. Because no one does that. They're always like, Rinna, Rinna. And she was just like,
Mrs. Hamlin.
Yes.
Do we have any little treats to eat?
Like, she's got this really deep, raspy voice. All the Richard sisters have this voice. Paris Hilton has this voice. Like, this all comes from Big Kathy. She is the seventh housewife of Beverly Hills, you know, bedad. And personally, I just really get a high when we get like a little peek behind the curtain of the Richards family, like growing up. Like, when we get that little moment and we get it only, it only comes out sometimes, but I think with Kathy on the show, she's gonna give us more of that because I loved the dentistry story, like last week when she was talking about doing dentistry on neighborhood children, cutting. She's like, I'm a hairdresser. Like, really, she's just very strange. And I love it. It's like a more sane Kim. And I love Kim, but you know, Kim for me was a little difficult to watch at times. It was like just too dark for me, but Kathy's a little different. And the fact that she calls Kyle Doogie.
Doogie knows her stuff. Doogie, without you, what would we do?
When the producers were asking her, what does this even mean? She was like, honestly, I don't even know. She's like a Tootsie Roll.
What's a Doogie though? I don't know what a Doogie is.
A Doogie, little child, like a little Tootsie Roll.
It was just like that little window into their childhood that I loved. And then of course they played Two Truths and a Lie, to which Kathy just kind of like made up her own game and just said three truths.
I worked as a dental assistant. I worked as a hairdresser, cutting children's hair. And I worked as a receptionist at the Waldorf.
I loved it because the editors like played back literally all of the times that Kathy has said those three, that she has done those three things. And all the women were like, wait, what? You know, because Crystal was saying like, oh, I was working at an escort agency. I, you know, got asked to be a madam. And those were the two truths. Like, I want more backstory on that. Erica said, oh, this was so good, you guys. So Christopher Rogers, he writes for Hollywood Life. He tweeted to keep in mind while we're watching that this took place, this trip, October 26th. And Erica filed for divorce November 3rd. So when he tweeted that, I was like, okay, I got to keep that in mind this episode. So when Erica said,
I wore a wire and was a witness in a government case.
What does that even mean? Like, are we going to get more information about maybe she wore a wire for Tom and his problems? I mean, I don't know. But, you know, she just bugs me. Like, her whole deep voice, like, oh, I'll tell you guys about it later. It's like, go fuck yourself. Like, you're on a show. Like, why even bring that up? It's so annoying. And then I just want to give a little shout out to Garcelle. Garcelle is probably my favorite Beverly Hills housewife. I would say Kathy Hilton, but Kathy Hilton's technically not a housewife, which is like such a shame. I love Garcelle so much because she's so confrontational, but in the best way. Like, she is so out there with like her feelings. She wants to get it all out on the table. Like, she had a sit down with Rinna and then she had another sit down with Kyle. And then, you know, they were able to work out their issues. And I really appreciated that. I appreciated that Kyle just listened to Garcelle's experience as a Black woman and didn't try to like project her own experiences. She didn't get defensive. She just let Garcelle have that. And I think that that is so important and such an important discussion to, for like us as viewers to watch play out on television instead of like, you know, watching Kyle get defensive and it turns into this big fight, which I mean, we kind of see that later, but now with Kyle with Sutton, that was, we'll get into that. I really loved that. I love that so much. I think it was so powerful and I just love Garcelle. She's just not afraid to like put it out there and like get her feelings out on the table. But her problem, I think, with Rinna, so they go to this lodge, apparently bears can like bust in on the ground floor. I would get the fuck out of there immediately. I'd be like, nope, absolutely not. I'm sleeping on the roof. The issue with her and Rinna is I feel like Rinna, because she's a veteran of reality television, she kind of views this world in like a very different way, right? Like Rinna looks at her friendship with Garcelle through the lens of a reality show. And Garcelle looks at her friendships through like real life and her real feelings. So I did appreciate that Rinna was like, listen, I can't promise that I'm never going to hurt your feelings again. I can't promise that like, you know, I'm never going to fuck up again. Like, I did love that. But I think that they just take their friendships differently. It's like they're kind of dancing around this idea of like the fourth wall of like, okay, like we're really just good friends because we're both on this show. I do think that they maybe had a friendship before. I'm kind of like Rinna and Denise, but Rinna's like, yeah, like we weren't that close. Like, I know how it like had to be portrayed for the show, but that wasn't the reality. And I think that they're kind of trying to, you know, like I said, dance around that subject. So, I mean, I'm going to end this episode on New York. Okay. Just brief thoughts. I don't love this season. I'm not going to spend the next, you know, however many minutes bashing this season because I still am enjoying myself. But I'm also wondering what the fuck is going on. What is happening? And why are we being led to believe that Garth is hot? Because he's not. Garth is not a hot man. Garth is just an older man who has hair. And I think he dyes his hair. And there's nothing, I don't have anything against that. It's just particularly like not the vibe that I'm rocking with per se. I'm just like, what are we doing? It just doesn't feel grounded. And I felt like that's how it was last season as well. Like these, there's just nothing really grounding them. I am loving Ebony and I'm loving her relationship with Ramona because it's so surprising to me. Like I just didn't expect it. I do also think Ramona is like on her very best behavior, to be completely honest. And don't think I didn't like, you know, miss Ramona rubbing Angel Spy Ramona on her titties in the bed with Sonia in her negligee. No. Like I got all that. I don't want to keep harping on it, but I just think Sonia needs, I don't know what the fuck's going on with her actually. The fact that she's still upset that her family moved 7 years ago to Tennessee, it's like, baby, that was 7 years ago. Like seven, and she's acting like it just happened. It's ridiculous. And also this weird idea that like we got to keep the money in the family. Like, bitch, you got enough money. Your daughter's a fucking Morgan. She's an artist living in New York City on her own. I watch Gallery Girls. That's not real life. And that I'm really glad that Ramona is like able to be real with her and is like, babe, that is not like the reality here. Like you're living in a different world. And I also, it made me laugh a little bit because we're also being told that Ramona and Lou are like besties now and it's Lumona and like it's this new friendship and they're really getting to know each other. Okay. Because when Lou started crying at the bar about being around people who are really drunk and how difficult it is for her to see Sonia in pain, Ramona didn't give a fuck. Okay. Ramona like barely rubbed her arm, like was like, oh, okay, like go sit down somewhere else. Like, bye. And I only like really noticed this because then 5 minutes later, you see Ramona like comforting Sonia, hugging her, kissing her. Like Ramona has even done that with Bethany. So it just kind of made me laugh that like we're being told that they're these close friends. I don't even think Ramona wished Lou a happy birthday on Instagram. It's just kind of funny to me. And this whole vow of silence with Leah. Not sure what she thought she was doing with all of that. It felt really weird. And like, you're on a reality show, you're not getting paid to be fucking silent. This isn't, you know, a Charlie Chaplin movie. Like, I don't really get what you're doing. Engage, please. And then this Heather Thompson situation. So Heather comes in and it is so underwhelming. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't that. She like just bopped in and even she was like, this is such a cold reception. This is so strange. And then she's being shunned to the lower level. Like, what? Also, I mean, like, honestly, you guys, we've all been in that basement before. Like, you have been in your friend's fucking basement. It might be your basement and it's okay. I'm not shaming you. Where it's just cold and dry and there's like a lot of neutrals and there's like, you know, the couch from upstairs, but then their parents got a new couch, then they put the old one in the basement. Like, that's the one we're dealing with. Like, we all have been there. I would not want to stay down there either. Yeah, I mean, just the whole thing about the podcast and what she said. I mean, I did love that Heather re-released the episode after this episode of New York aired because people were, like, dying to listen to it. Yeah, so really just the highlight for me was Lou saying Ratsville.
Ratsville.
Looking dead ass in the camera and calling Carol a bitch and then saying Ratsville.
Can't stand that bitch. Whenever I see something Carol, I swipe. Bye-bye. Ratsville.
That's pretty much all I have for New York. I obviously will continue to watch every single week. And I do love our girls, but something is missing for me. I can't put my finger on what it is. Sadly, I worry this might be Sonia's last season. If she keeps this up. But we'll see. We'll see. Only truth and time tells all. So that's all I got with New York. Okay, I can't believe I almost forgot. Okay, so one last thing. Frankie Catania. I love my Frankie Catania. So I'm obviously a huge Frank Catania Sr. fan. I love that man so much. I love his bicep tattoos. I love his blue eyes. I love his little chuckle. I love him. So I look at Frank Catania Jr. as like my stepson. And I don't know what brought me to his Instagram the other day, but I was just like browsing it, just taking a little peek. I found his girlfriend on Instagram. So I was like, oh, let me go check her out. You guys, she's like a baby Dolores, and she's also taking all of her photos in a parking garage. A fucking parking garage. Every single photo is of her with a cement wall behind her. It's honestly kind of iconic. And so when I posted about this on Instagram, I had people in my DMs being like, oh yeah, that's like a new aesthetic. Like that's like a Gen Z thing. Like everyone's taking photos in parking garages. I'm like, this feels really weird. Stop it. Like, go to the boardwalk, take some fucking photos in front of like, you know, a clown or like a cute like beach moment. Like, why are you taking these photos in a garage with like your baby bralette on and your Jordans? And I hate that, you know, she's wearing low rise jeans because it's like they're coming back and it's really terrifying. But it was really funny to me that she was just in this park. Like, who is taking these photos of her? Who's like, yeah, let's go to that garage. Let's go take photos. It's just, also, does she have to pay to get into the garage? I just had that thought. Because you know how, like, sometimes you got to, like, go in. You got to, like, press that little button and the ticket comes out. And then you got to pay when you leave. Is she paying to take these photos in the garage? Like, I feel like there's an easier way to, I don't know, take cute Instagram photos for, like, your little Instagram aesthetic, which I fucking hate. But whatever. Here we are. It's 2021. And then, but I did, what I found so cute was that little Frankie was like hyping her up in the comments, you guys. He was like throwing fire emojis, heart emojis. He's like, babe, you're so beautiful. I'm just like, Frankie is the ideal like Instagram boyfriend. Like everybody wants their boyfriend to like hype them up. And he was doing it even when she's taking photos in like a fluorescent lit parking garage. So God bless him. God bless him. I just had to share that little tidbit of information. If you haven't looked, please go look. I don't want to like drop her handle because I feel like that's, I don't know. I feel kind of weird about that. Just go to Frankie Catania's Instagram and you'll find her. She's beautiful. But like I said, she's kind of like a baby Dolores. Like she's giving me like Kylie Jenner meets Dolores, which was like quite a combo. I think you can like really picture what I'm putting out there. So yeah, I mean, I just had to share that with you and just had to tell you all that Frankie Catania has an Instagram girlfriend who takes photos in a parking garage. It's a moment. Thank you so much for listening this week, and please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and be sure to follow me on Instagram at Bravo Historian. And Hot Off the Mess is a podcast by The Dip, that's D-I-P-P. And be sure to check out other podcasts from The Dip, that's including The Slut Pig Podcast with Chris and Grace Snow, the daily pop culture podcast, Pop Chaser, and a TV history podcast, TV Watch Repeat. So see you next week.